Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHEM from the Soccer Down Here Network, and thanks for hanging out with us here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you. For those unfamiliar, SDHEM is the morning show associated with the Soccer Down Here Network, and it runs Monday through Friday, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time until 11:05 and later most days, where we kind of let you know what's going on in the world of soccer, what you might have missed in the overnight, and get you ready for your day with regular guests, with special guests, and all the news and information that we can present in that particular time frame. This week, it is an opportunity to catch up with a couple of folks. Atlanta United is on the road. They're going to Foxborough to take on New England Revolution. We catch up with the longtime play-by-play voice of the Revs, Brad Feldman, get his thoughts on a somewhat identical season that the Revs have had compared to Atlanta United, and now both teams are meeting Saturday night in Foxborough. We get to catch up with Brad about his thoughts on the Revs this season in 2025 and Atlanta United as they come to town. Next up, we catch up with Mark Followill from Apple TV, at least in this particular incarnation of Mark, where Mark is juggling American football, getting close to juggling NBA basketball, and also tapping into Apple TV's coverage of soccer. He also has worked for Big Fox and their coverage, whether it's Gold Cup or what have you. So Mark Followill has been a very, very busy man, continues to be busy, and we caught him on his way to the airport in Dallas as he was getting ready to call the Atlanta United and New England Revolution match for Apple TV. We caught up with him about the state of soccer in 2025. We get into a bit of a CONCACAF discussion, an MLS Eastern Conference discussion, and a matchup discussion involving Atlanta United and the Revolution. So we'll catch up with Mark Followill as well. And our third guest is a bit of an introduction to our show, The Roots, that we have on the SDH Network, powered by our friends at NoFo Brewing. And it's an opportunity for us to kind of chase after the really cool stories that are going on in the sport of soccer, regardless of where they are. And this particular time, we go to Sweden, and we find out what's going on between the lines of the Allsvenskan and it is a great story involving Mjolby AIF. They are a town and a principality of just under 17,000. The town itself has about 1,925 folks. Play in a stadium that is slightly larger than that, and they are in the lead in the Allsvenskan, the first division of Swedish football, with only a handful of matches to go. And so we caught up with their head coach, and we got to find out what has been going on with the rise of Mjolby AIF, and we get to find out what is going on in the Allsvenskan, what it's been like to see this kind of season come to fruition, and find out really what could come next, what it could mean for Mjolby if they win the title this season. Anders Torstensson, the head coach for Mjolby in his third term for the club, and it was a chance for us to catch up with him, kind of get an introduction as to what's going on at Mjolby and find out what the season has been like and what it's like when folks like us come knocking on the door for Mjolby Almana Idrottsförening. There we go. Mjolby Almana Idrottsförening. 86-year-old club. The ground is the Strandvallen in Hallevik with a capacity of 6,750. And we catch up with Anders Torstensson to wrap up the show this week and let you know what's going on with one of the cool stories in all of soccer. So, without further ado, time to get the opposition research and find out what's on the mind of Brad Feldman as he breaks down everything going on with the Revs as they get ready for Atlanta United. Brad, as always, great to catch up with you this time around. It's not about coaching changes, although that is part of the context of the conversation. It's opposition research this time involving Atlanta United and the Revs. Thanks for dropping by. It's always great to see you.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. Good to see you, too.
All right. So takeaways from last week, the 1-0 loss. Obviously, no Peyton Miller because of the red card. But now that you've had a couple days to digest it, what sticks in your head about what the Revs did or didn't do against Philadelphia?
Well, the red card came pretty late in the game. They had him for 75 minutes. I actually thought it was unjustified. It was a bad reaction from Miller. It certainly warranted a yellow, but you know, after he got baited, took an elbow to the rib cage, he tossed the ball an opposing player and it hit him in the back. You're like, that's not a red card. But that wasn't really the crux of it. I thought the Revs under interim head coach Paolo Moreira played really well for stretches. They played more aggressively on the front foot. There were just a few moments where instead of when they won the ball back off of the press, where they looked to hit on the counter as opposed to recycling the ball and keeping possession. That wasn't a universal truth, but it was – apparent that they're playing a little more directly and a little more aggressively. It did not yield a goal. Part of that is down to the fact that Leonardo Campana and Ignatius Ganago, two of their forwards that would normally be starting, were not available due to injury. So, Luca Langoni, who, generously would be, listed at like 5'7". He's not a target forward. He's a good sprinter in the channels, but, he has two goals on the season. Not a lights-out finisher. Certainly not a conventional number nine center forward. So they were limited in that department. Carlos Heel always creates chances. I thought, they defended fairly resolutely and in an organized way, but minus Mamadou Fofana, who was out with a yellow card suspension, they had to slide Eli Feingold, normally a wing back inside, to play center back in, in the three or the five, however you want to call it. And then Brandon Bye got his first start in 2 months as the right wing back. And there were some people who suggested maybe you invert that because Feingold has been good as a wing back and you use Bye's aerial ability to, on the inside, get Feingold up and down the flanks. But before he was let go, Caleb Porter had been talking about experimenting with Feingold as a central defender. And even though he's not tall in stature himself, he has a good skill set for that. I thought it was an interesting experiment that, if they hadn't conceded a goal in the 71st minute, would have looked like a really, a genius masterstroke by by Morera. But, you know, as it stood, you know, they stood toe to toe with the top team in the East, albeit one, you know, they were coming off of a 7-0 drubbing in the league to Vancouver in their previous match. And, you know, they got knocked out of the U.S. Open Cup. But I think that was a bad time to get Philly. So to go down there and only lose by one, you know, like it's minus, you know, three starters, not the worst outcome. I thought the Revs played pretty well for stretches. They showed flashes and promises, but it's been that kind of season, John. Like, it's not like the Revs have been getting blown out all year. You know, it's just been, you know, just letting down their guard at crucial times or not finishing. You know, when they had opportunities to get something out of the game. And so that's why they find themselves outside of the playoffs looking in. That loss officially put them, mathematically put them out of playoff contention, although it was a foregone conclusion for several weeks based on, you know, the various computer models. So, you know, like they were fun to watch. That's the good part, right, is that they showed a little bit of sizzle. They showed a little of that new coach bounce, but they're playing a good team on the road, minus three guys, and they lost 1-0.
You look at the absences this time around, as you and I are talking, is there any update on Ganago and Campana and how they may integrate, or is it still kind of
You know, I'm waiting for the press avails with Pablo, and also that we have a conference call with him. I'll know more, you know, in a little while, and they should before the game publicly release that, but I have no intel update as of now, unfortunately.
You mentioned the goals allowed, and I went back a little bit as you were breaking it down. There are very rare instances this season where New England has just been barraged and you've given up more than two. I mean, there's a three, there's obviously the five with Red Bulls. But a lot of times it's just, you know, two, you know, one or two here, and then you get into that stretch back in June and July where you give up three to Nashville, three to Colorado, and things like that. But it seems like if things are going well defensively or just in general for the Revs, you're giving up one, you're giving up two. The defense is there for that full 90 minutes, clamping down the way that they want to. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, they haven't been poor defensively. They've been organized. And, you know, I think maybe – you know, if there was a flaw in the overall approach from Caleb Porter, is that it was defense first, right? Like, stay organized, keep the ball, don't get opened up. I think it's telling that if you look at those games that you just referenced, other than that, you know, pretty disastrous 3-1 loss at home to Montreal at the end of July, that was really effectively for me the end of their playoff contention. Even the when they allowed five goals against the Red Bulls, they scored three. Mm-hmm. Colorado, they allowed three at home, but they scored three. Right, Kansas City, they went down, came back, and drew 3-3 on the road. Orlando, they drew 3-3 on the road. So, what does that tell you? When they concede those, you know, four games where they really did get opened up, that's when they open it up, and then they had the ability, you know, with a fuller complement of attacking players, to go get goals because they had to, right? That's why so many of these games, not just Revolution, not just in MLS, but around the world, it's like either a low-scoring affair or it's a wide-open, you know, wing-ding high score. Because once a team comes out of their shell, and I'm not saying the Revs parked the bus, but they have good defenders. When they have – Brian Ceballos and Mamadou Fofana in there, they have very athletic, rangy, fast center backs who can also use the ball, also have good aerial ability, are aggressive but not dirty, and, you know, provide cover. They, you know, they have really good central midfielders, especially Al-Hassan Youssef, who has been, you know, one of the top ball winners and covers as much ground. I don't know his current stats, but, you know, he's top five and, you know, tackles one, recoveries, and also, you know, miles per game. Like, he just covers every blade of grass out there. And so, you know, and now they have Matt Turner, you know, international caliber goalkeeper. So that defensive spine is good. You know, Tanner Beeson wasn't expected to start, but he when they've been in a 3-5-2, and even occasionally when they play 4-4-2, has gotten time. He's not the fleetest of foot, but he's got a good soccer brain, takes up good positions. He's decent. So, yeah, the Revs are not a poor defensive team. And when they've gotten into these open games, then, you know, they've gotten three draws this season. So, you know, like the Revs have been right there, John. Like I think that's the thing, is that they just haven't had that winning edge. They are not a poor side. They have good talent, a good organization. I think that's what Pablo was trying to say in his press remarks, you know, last week, without kicking his former boss and longtime, you know, career partner and mentor, Caleb Porter, on the way out the door, is like he just wants to do the same but a little more aggressively, so that they can get more, you know, more goals on the board, because the organization and everything has looked structured and sound, and, you know, like the season has not been a disaster. It's just sort of cumulatively has been not good enough, you know.
You end up with moments and game state that will turn a result one way or the other, which lends itself to a body of work that is creating in moments, and there's context that should be attached to something. I think that should be important in these kinds of analyses.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And it's such a low scoring sport that, you know, fine margins mean a lot. And then if you're losing on the margins or drawing in the margins, you know, more than you're getting the rub of the green, you know, that fantastic season the Revs had 4 years ago, when they set the supporter shield record, they led the league in one goal victories. They were not mostly blowing teams out. And, you know, that was, I think, indicative of a mentality and an edge that group had. And, you know, this was in some ways the converse of that. They were, you know, they were very rarely winning games that they shouldn't have won. You know, you need some of those, even the best teams. You know, it's not how good you are when you play good. It's how good you are when you play bad. You know, the famous Latrell Green quote. It's one of my favorite quotes, not just about sports, but life. You know, like, you got to be good when you're having an off day. You got to figure out a way to win. And coaches they're not always the cause on every day, but, like, that's their job. You know, that X factor, that edge, that mentality. And that was not working to good effect. It doesn't mean that, you know, Caleb Porter is two championships his name in MLS. So it's not like he's never done it. It was not working in New England. And last week, it was sort of a transitional thing. We'll see what these last three games bring for Pablo. He says he wants his hat to be in the ring for the next coach job here. But you know, you could say, you know, right now they don't have the horses, right? Like, they let two attacking players go. And then, you know, then you're missing two more guys up front, then you're down really to one, you know, striker off the bench. They, you know, they brought up one guy from Revs too. But, you know, they have Tomas Jankalai, who interestingly still didn't start, right? Like, he was clearly out of favor with Caleb Porter. And then he didn't start under Pablo again last week. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for him when the offseason comes, no matter how that, you know, how that shakes out. But yeah, it's a tough business, man. You're seeing in Atlanta, mm-hmm. right? Like, Garth Lagerwey and I go back over 25 years. I consider him a friend. I haven't talked to him in a little while, but, you know, we've stayed in touch through the years. He did Revs broadcast years ago before, you know, while he was still in law school and before he became GM and club president. And that's a guy with a winning pedigree who knows not just MLS and soccer talent and soccer business, but he understands the psychology of negotiations, organizational structure, just sort of, you know, the art of war within the context of civilized competition as much as anybody I've met. And, you know, I know people not just in soccer, but in other sports and other, you know, sort of sides of the sports business. And while being a gentleman, you know, Garth is a winner, but that doesn't mean he's going to win every year. And every concoction he puts together of, you know, sort of combination of coaches, players, and so forth, there's so many moving parts, right? And sometimes it doesn't click, you know, and other times it just takes one addition or subtraction for it to click. If I knew how to do it, I'd be a coach or a team president or GM. So, you know, I'd love to give you a quick and dirty analysis that tells you why things work and don't. You know, I think the Revs are close, mm-hmm. but they need some big changes at the same time, right? So it's sort of a contradiction. But, you know, one thing that would solve it would be a lights out striker. So when you have the leading chance creator in the league, like Carlos Hill, which they have, then you have somebody up front to bang him in on the regular basis. So that's my guess is that Garth would tell you the same thing, right? If Latte La was, had 27 goals, would be a different kind of season.
Yeah. I want your best Garth Lagerwey story before we get out of here.
Can't say it on the air. Sorry.
What are you going into this matchup with Atlanta United? When you look at what the Revs are currently putting out on the field, what are you the most confident about going up against Atlanta United, and what concerns you the most going up against Atlanta United coming up on the weekend?
You know, I think it's really about the Revs' own mentality. I think that there's a lot of pride in that group. I think the veterans like Turner, Carlos Hill, Matt Polster, you know, it was really great to see Andrew Farrell get on the field in an MLS game for the first time in over a year. Brandon Bai, those guys are real links to the Revs' recent proud past. And I don't think, you know, especially at the poor home record this year, I think that's been a source of real pain. I think that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of Porter getting removed before the season ended. You know, it was a draw, but it was like a draw that felt like a lost 2 points dropped at home. And so, you know, I think that those guys can, you know, keep the spirits up. People are playing for jobs in many cases, whether they're trying to impress the interim head coach or management going forward. I think there's going to be a lot. That doesn't worry me. I think these guys, we saw that in Philly, that they're going to, you know, represent the club crest and themselves, you know, with a lot of pride and vigor. And, you know, also that Pablo took, you know, the structure of the Caleb Porter method and then injected some more aggression in there. I wish I had more intel for you. I think that, you know, depending on how the back line is organized, you know, like, again, like just, it could be the kind of game where points drop could have to do with like one big moment on a set piece or a counter attack where a guy gets pulled out of position, or, you know, you don't want to blame any one person, but, you know, there are some, you know, like, he hasn't been punished yet. Alan O'Yearwith, who like big European clubs are rumored to be interested in. Right. He, you know, has played really well the last 2 weeks, getting his first couple MLS starts, but he's also in both, you know, and he came off the bench before that. He has one ricket per game, and you don't want your central defensive midfielder, or you want to call him a six or an eight, to give the ball away in bad spots. Now, he's so athletic and anticipates well, so he's been able to recover and not been punished. But, like, I do worry about a giveaway like that or somebody being out. But, like, I think the Revs, you know, should be favored at home. Like, they should be, and I think that you're going to see a good performance.
Since you stole my O'Yearwith question, let me go to my next one. Since you've read my notes going in here, there are contract decisions that have to be made. Currently, if I remember correctly, the Revs are on the 2-4 model. It's not the 3-3 model. There are some 25s with some options for 26, and there have been decisions that have already been made, Ivicic and Aruti being two of those. When it comes to those 25s with option years, how different do you anticipate the roster being with those?
You know, I honestly, like, I'd love to have this conversation with you, you know, once they have a head coach in place, because I think it's really, I think there are going to be some shuffles, but I think a lot of it has to do with who the next manager is, who the next head coach is, and how that meshes with the, you know, the front office. You know, we saw it when Caleb Porter came in. He said, this is my group. I can win with this group. And then after a season, he's like, bring me a new group. So they just this past offseason went out and got him. I can't remember what the final total of 14, 16 new guys. Are they going to do that again this winter? I don't know yet.
That's, I mean, that and that obviously is the question. And I will hold you to it, to having the postseason conversations. And to answer your question about the Revs and the juice boxes, the Revs are favored right now at a plus 106. 90-minute draw is a plus 285. Atlanta United on the road is a plus 214. So you're a decided favorite at home for that 740 kick on Saturday night.
Well, that sounds right to me, even though the Revs only won three times at home in 15 games so far, which seems crazy. You know, all the sort of anonymous player surveys are always like, we hate going there. The surface is terrible. We don't like the fans. You know, it's a cavernous stadium, all that stuff. And the Revs and their fans are always like, good. The less you like it, the more we like it. But it didn't work to their advantage this year. It was bizarre. It was bizarre. And they're better on the road than at home this year. I think 5-5-6 on the road, which doesn't track. But it still makes sense, you know, and like we don't have time to get into all this. I'm sure this is what you guys talk about every week. Obviously, Atlanta United is underperformed relative to expectations and so forth as well. Yep. So they're going to have a lot to prove. I don't think it's going to be an easy game for the Revs. And, you know, but I think those odds, and I'm not an odds maker, and I'm not a better, but, you know, a lot will depend on the personnel New England has in the starting lineup. You know, if you have Leo Campana up there, even though he only has 6 goals on the season, mm-hmm. you know, like he's only played half the season. Like if he had been healthy, that total could have been 12, 15 goals, and then you're getting return on investment, for bringing up from Miami. And, you know, then the Reds might be in a different place in the standings, you know, so most likely they would be. So that's been the missing piece, really. Somebody to finish the good crosses from, you know, the flanks that they get from Miller and Feingold when they're out there. And more than that, you know, just the incredible creative ability of Carlos Hill, which in and of itself, in my personal opinion, is reason to watch the Revs, no matter whether they're in or out of the playoff position, as long as he's still healthy and in his prime, which he still is. Mm-hmm. He still is at 33. He's playing as sharply and is at the same tempo, at the same rate of goal creation as he was during his MVP season. So, you know, the Revs are always a threat when that guy's on the ball.
If you would please, sir, cut the promo for folks that could listen to you.
You got to watch them. You got to watch
them. So for folks that want to listen to you on the local call, they can do it on Apple TV. How else can they consume everything, Brad Felder?
I appreciate that ability to do the plug. Yeah, we're on 98.5, the Sports Hub flagship station for the top sports radio station in New England, as we are most weeks in the Boston area and beyond, and then using the home radio option, the alternate audio channel on Apple TV, plus MLS season pass with Charlie Davies and myself live from Gillette Stadium, 7:30 start Saturday night.
All the things. As always, Brad, great to catch up with you, and thanks for the opposition research. Have a great broadcast. May the pipes say the messaging that you always wish to say. May they be as healthy as humanly possible. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Good man, John. Thank you.
As always, great to catch up with Brad and find out what's on his mind when it comes to all of the activity going on with New England Revolution in the 2025 season and as they prepare for Atlanta United coming up on Saturday night. Next up, Mark Followill from Apple TV getting ready to call said match on the Apple TV side of things. We get his perspective on what's going on in Major League Soccer, with what's going on in CONCACAF, what's going on in Dallas, and a couple of questions that are kind of rapid fire about the industry and all the partners that he has and his beloved Mean Green of North Texas. Here's our conversation with Mark Followill. We believe in safe guesting here on the morning show. And we were told that this particular individual is on his way to the airport. And so we believe in safe guesting, and we will have a conversation with Mark Followill. And we welcome Mark to the morning show. Mark, welcome to SDHAM.
What is going on? Can you hear me okay?
You are good, and you are good to go. Like I said, we believe in safe guesting, and so we're just listening to the dulcet tones of Mark Followill this morning.
Well, I think that I couldn't figure out how to turn my camera off, so you may have like a strange camera angle as I'm on the way to DFW today.
I have taken the camera out, and I don't want people to see what's going on inside the Followill mobile. Everything is fine.
You're inside good? My Subaru Crosstrek. Yes.
Well, yeah, man, I got a Forester. I'm right there with you. You and I are part of the same Subaru family. I do have a rundown. How long do I have you, by the way?
25 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. All right, 20. We're good. That'll work. I've got Brad.
Yeah,
Feldman.
Great.
I got Brad Feldman after you for opposition research.
Brad Feldman.
Yes. I do have a list of topics here. I do want to talk about the Mean Greens 4-0 start in South Alabama coming to Denton this weekend, but you're like heading in the other direction.
Yeah, big game.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get into the idea of what it's like in the booth, having all of these different dance partners and all these different sports that you're juggling. I imagine that you have to have like four calendars like me when it comes to who am I, where am I, and what am I talking about? And just the dance of dealing with folks from like Lincoln Kennedy to Anthony Heron to Warren and Dee Harp. I want to kind of get into that a little bit. But
yeah.
First, we have to kind of talk a little bit about soccer and find out what's going on in the life of Mark Followill. It's been a busy season for you, man. When you look back at the season, we got a couple of matches, a couple of weeks left. What has stuck in your brain just from 30,000 feet that you've got to see a whole lot this season?
Well, a couple of things. I did Gold Cup games this summer, and that was really fun. And I think I know this is venturing a little bit off the MLS path.
Perfectly fine.
But I do think that this is such an exciting and intriguing time in CONCACAF. Now, obviously, there's all kind of the unsettled nature of what's going on with the U.S. and what happened with the Gold Cup and Pulisic, McKinney, et cetera, not being there this summer. They had a good run. Obviously, it didn't work out in the final. But I think beyond just the concern that people had about how the summer played out with the United States, this is a really unique time in CONCACAF.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, because three teams are going to directly qualify outside of the three host countries. And then there's two other teams that will go into the playoff, and still to be determined who's going to be the six teams of that intercontinental playoff for the last two World Cup spots in this expanded field. But it's, you know, that's one of the things that's really on my mind of soccer in 2025, is that the door is open for some crazy things to happen in CONCACAF. I mean, we had Haiti for one of our games on Fox, and Sebastian Meunier, who took the job as their manager under very difficult circumstances. You know, there's so much political unrest in the country, they can't play games at home. But he said, this is now or never for Haiti to qualify for the World Cup. So that's why I took the job. You know, and you've got all this potential for, like, Suriname leads their group right now. Now we'll see if it, you know, if that stays intact. And Honduras, I think, leads their group. I mean, it's just, look, there's still two more rounds of qualifying for that. But then, like I said, there's going to be two teams that are going to make the playoff. And so that could open up the door for a seventh or maybe even an eighth team. So that's been one of the crazy parts of 2025. Then if I were going to move over to MLS, I would say, and as it kind of relates to Atlanta, look, I've seen a lot of great teams and great games this year. The thing that stands out to me is, man, the Eastern Conference is so good. And that's not to say that there's not good teams in the West, and obviously the fortifications that LAFC have made during the season, of course, have made them a real threat on the Western Conference side of the bracket. But Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Miami, Nashville, Charlotte, Columbus, New York City FC, Orlando, look at how good all of those teams are. And I mentioned this in another interview I did this week. In the Eastern Conference, a team's going to miss the playoffs with a high 40s number of points, maybe even over 50, possibly. We'll see what happens here at the end of the year, but at least in the high 40s. And two teams are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference who are going to be mid to low 40s in points, somewhere in that 42, 43, 44, 45 range. And somebody's going to miss it sitting around 48 or 49 over on the Eastern Conference side of it. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs across the board, but man, the East has so many good teams and so many good players. I don't know. That's something that really has stood out to me in 2025.
You've got three groups, if you want to kind of treat it like the Tour de France. You've got the lead pack that's got Philly and Cincy. You've got Miami with matches in hand that are a part of the Chase group. And you've got, what, six teams separated by 5 points in that bracket in the East. And then you've got the race for 9-10. It could be Chicago, could be Red Bulls, and it's going to be one of those two because everybody else is out. When you look at Atlanta United, I have to ask you this. We've seen you on the surface with Warren for matches this year at MBS. What are your thoughts on Atlanta United in general this season?
Well, I think that they're, to oversimplify it, they're the players they spent big money on in the offseason or have in the past haven't produced. And that's just kind of the sad reality of it, that in this league, and we just ran down all the teams in the Eastern Conference, and they're big money expenditures, and a lot of those were made, not all of them, of course, when you look at Messi and such, but a lot of the big money expenditures, Evander, Denke in Cincinnati, I mean, Surridge obviously was in Nashville before this year, but Barrivo in Philadelphia, BL in Charlotte, I mean, you just got all these, you know, big money players that have played to their paper, and unfortunately that hasn't necessarily happened with Atlanta. They've struggled with continuity on the back line, so the defensive numbers aren't great. And, you know, I would say that again, they play in a harder conference, so that makes their schedule harder. And they've also been – there's been – I mean, maybe people will view this as like, well, who cares, because the results are what matter and not expected goals and luck and things like that. But the numbers would say that they've had an unfortunate, unlucky season. Because if you went on what their expected goals are for scoring and what their expected goals allowed should be at this point, they should have a positive goal differential, not a minus 18 or whatever it is, minus 15, minus 18 goal differential. They are underperforming their expected goals by 15, which is the second worst underperformance of any team in MLS, only worse than CF Montreal, who's underperforming their expected goals by like 15.2. And opponents are outperforming their expected goals with Atlanta by over 7 goals this year, which is the most of any team in MLS. So they've had the second worst underperformance of their own goal scoring, and opponents are outperforming what they should by more than any other team in Major League Soccer. So maybe the reality is maybe Atlanta's just been a little unlucky, unfortunately, this year. There's those other things I talked about, John, but maybe when you get right down to it, and you've seen all the games, so you would have a better feel. You've seen all the games at a far more granular level than I have. So you would have a better feel for, well, yeah, maybe Mark's right. I remember this game and that game and this game where they were just a little bit unlucky and weren't ruthless enough with their chances. So I haven't seen them at a granular enough level to understand if maybe there really is something to that. But the numbers certainly say that there's something to, they've just had like a really unfortunate season in regards to underperforming what they could have been in the attack and the opponents outperforming what they should have been based on the kind of shots that they were able to generate, kind of chances they were able to generate during games.
Yep, you got that. And then you also have the turnover from the roster. I think it was 12 roster moves, I think is what Chris Henderson said when it came to the secondary window. And you're trying to integrate Steven Alzate and Juan Barakal and then AME High into this. And those just happen to be folks that you're kind of viewing at the back as a part of all of this process. And the guys that you thought you were bringing in, they didn't work, and they've been jettisoned, and you found homes for folks. And so you have all of this turnover and chaos and game state and all of these things that have led to what's been going on with Atlanta this year. So, yes, you are. I'm right there with you.
I talked to Ronnie. Yeah, I mean, not just me, all of our English-Spanish broadcast for the MLS Season Pass broadcast this weekend. And, I mean, he does feel positive about what they've done from a roster construction standpoint and the way the team's played in some recent games. The win over Nashville obviously ended a long winless streak. The first half against Columbus, nobody's going to run from the fact that it was a disaster. Second half, though, was good. You showed a lot of fight, out showing fight and moral victories, but you didn't completely fold and you dug yourself out of 5-0 and darn near got a result out of that game. Maybe that's a hollow. I mean, obviously, that's not, you know, there's no moral victories in this thing. And look, they played a San Diego team that's one of the, I think there's 5 teams that have a legit shot. I mean, you could argue maybe more, but I think at a minimum, there's 5 teams that have a chance still to win Supporters Shield before it's all said and done. And they played well last week against San Diego and salvaged something out of that game. So there's some good signs here at the end of the year with player acquisition and finally maybe getting some continuity. I know he spoke when we talked yesterday. He was really happy with how Gregor said at Barakal played in the back and likes what they have there. And to your point, lack of continuity, particularly in the back, I do think has been problematic for them this year as well. So it's been a tough year, but the great thing is you can turn it around quickly in MLS, man.
No doubt. Mark Folliwell hanging out with us. We are safe guesting. He is on his way to DFW so he can catch a flight. You like platinum medallion or something?
I am platinum, yes. But
wow.
I've never made it to platinum pro, so I am platinum. Yep. Yeah. I looked, I'm 23rd on the upgrade list today for a flight with no first class seats available anyway. So I'll just be sticking it out in my old main cabin extra seat today. So it is what it is.
So are you flying into Providence?
But I laughed this morning.
Yeah.
I'm flying into Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you just brought up something. This is travel tip for people that are watching and or listening. And that is, if you're going to the New England area and the Boston area, there's a lot of merit to flying into Providence, depending on where you're going especially. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's just Boston proper, then you would do that. But if it's anything in the outlying outskirts, there's a lot of merit to flying into Providence because it's a whole lot easier to navigate the ingress and egress than the craziness that is Logan. But I have friends who live in the south side of Boston who I'm going to have dinner with tonight. So I'm flying into Boston.
Smart play by Folliwell there, going into Logan to make sure everything's fine. Have they told you what the menu's going to be yet? You going to get any duck bowling in?
No, I do not know the menu. All I know is that I tried to, like, book a reservation at an Italian place I like in the North End that I've gone to from Maverick games a few times over the years, and I foolishly waited yesterday, and there wasn't, like, a table to be had tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, next week, or anything. So that was rookie traveler mistake on that one.
But you can get fantastic Italian food when you fly into Green and Providence. That is another thing, too. You go on the hill, and it's all good. So what kind
of... You can, man. Federal Hill is like some of the best Italian food in the country. Another travel team.
What kind of a matchup are you expecting with two teams that did not meet expectations this year? But I think it applies what we were talking about with Atlanta just as much to New England. And Brad kind of agreed with you, too.
I think it's going to be fun, man. I think, I think you have two teams who they're unencumbered by the lack of, there's no pressure. For all of the players on these respective teams, I think both coaches would look at it this way. I mean, I asked them both yesterday, and they certainly agreed with this. There's something to be learned about how players carry themselves and prepare themselves and focus on the job right now whenever you, quote-unquote, don't have anything to play for. Now, you and I know, John, that that's not the right way to look at it. The reality, of course, is there's no playoffs for these players to play for, but there's jobs. There's setting a standard for, for both organizations. I think what makes good organizations what they are in MLS, and I love Seattle as a great example of this, although they've had some recent roster turnover, but man, like you look at Seattle Sounders and they have players who stay there for years and years and years. And they set standards in the organization for new people to come in and model and emulate and understand this is the expectation, this is the standard. And so I think if you go out and play well under these circumstances, you help set a standard. And you also, hopefully for both of these teams, they're looking at these last few games as we can play well, we can get some results, we can integrate new players, we can evaluate young players, etc. And we can put ourselves in a position where if we finish off this year strong and then have good winter transfer windows of player acquisition, then we can hit the ground running next year. So I think there's a lot of value in these games. And if I were a player in any of these games, man, I would always play hard. But I would especially look at this as a game where it's like, man, I don't have pressure of like if I make a mistake, I don't want to, but it's not the end of the world. And I can go out there and just play with an edge and play with a high level of exuberance and passion and enthusiasm. And I'm looking forward to the game. I think it'll be interesting to see how much both teams invest themselves from that standpoint in this game. And it could make it open and it could make it a lot of fun. So we'll see if it materializes that way. But that's how I'm thinking about it 36 hours away or less than 36 hours away from the kickoff.
You mentioned being unencumbered. I wonder if anyone has ever been encumbered.
surely at some point in time. There's 8 billion people in the world, and that's a long history. My wife and I just went to Paris last week, so we saw paintings at the Louvre and things like that. So when I was looking at those paintings, many of which I didn't really understand on a high artistic level, people looked encumbered to me in some of those paintings. I would have, people from that were subjects of Da Vinci works and Rodin and Claude Monet and Vincent van Gogh. Somebody had to be encumbered at some point in time in there. So that's the best I could give you on that. I'm sorry.
It's like you're disgruntled. I have never known anybody ever to be gruntled about anything ever.
Be gruntled. I don't necessarily know that these words that have prefixes like that, do they necessarily have to have an opposite word without the prefix? I don't know. Maybe that's just an assumption we make about English, and maybe there's some hidden layers about it that we don't understand.
I'm almost an English major. These are the things that trouble my brain. So rapid fire before you get onto your plane.
I like
yes. So your history, and I would recommend folks do a dive and read about your history. You go from Dallas Burn and PA to doing everything that you're doing right now. What has it been like for you to see the sport grow from those days when you were doing PA at the Cotton Bowl to where it is now?
Oh, man, it's been tremendous. I love it. I love that we have a thriving top-tier professional league in the United States with more and more money being pumped into it and more interest, obviously, and the league has grown. My first love of soccer was watching the 1986 World Cup in only Spanish language broadcast.
Yes.
I think available to watch it on Telemundo.
And I was 15 years old. I remember that.
And my mom saying, "Well, son, I don't understand what they're saying, but they sure do sound excited." And so that's my imitation of my mom, God rest her soul. But yeah, she was like, I didn't know that she liked this, son. And so that was where my love of the game started. And so to see it grow like this, I mean, how could you not, if you've been a longtime fan of the sport and have the league just be bursting at the seams with enthusiasm over what's happening here? And consequently, not only what's happening here, but the way television has changed, the proliferation of what you're able to watch from a around-the-world standpoint, it's incredible the foothold and the growth that the sport that soccer's made in the country. And no longer do we have to hear the smart-alecky local sportscaster, "Well, they keep saying soccer's the next big thing here, but I don't see it." It's happened, man, and if you've missed it, then you're just not looking. So it's really, really cool how the sport has grown, whether you love the Premier League or MLS or some other, domestic league around the world, whatever it is that you're fancy, you get a chance to satiate your soccer appetite to your heart's content these days in the United States through what's here and what's over there. And I think that's awesome, man. It's just fantastic.
I got like 98 streaming apps and bills to prove that point. I'm writing that off. How many different color guys do you currently have across all of your sports right now?
Well, mostly just Warren, but I've worked with, and on the MLS side, but I'm working with Ian Joy this week, who's truly is a great friend and, one of the most energetic, enthusiastic color announcers, analysts.
What are you doing?
He is so awesome. So I've worked with Ian since he did some games for FC Dallas in 2012. An incredible guy. You could say I've worked with like two or three different guys in MLS this year. On the MAV side of things, Derek Harper and Devin Harris are our top two analysts, former Atlanta Hawk. Devin Harris, by the way, and state of Georgia native, although he grew up in the West Palm Beach, Florida area, but Derek Harper is a Georgia native. So we've got Georgia connections with both of my guys, and we have a third analyst who is a local sports talk radio host who's on our home games, Wade. He doesn't have an Atlanta connection, but he's a hell of a guy. And then on college football, I worked mostly with Anthony Heron, but worked with Lincoln Kennedy on a University of Washington game this year for Big Ten Network. So, and I think I'm working with somebody different on Big Ten next week when I have the Purdue-Illinois game. Yogi Roth is my analyst next week because we're having to juggle some assignments on the Big Ten Network side of things. So, yeah, I do dance with a lot of different dance partners, that's for sure. But it's fun. I learned something from working with so many different people who have so many different perspectives on their various.
I was going to ask, what's it like for you and the eight gentlemen that you've mentioned, seven with upcoming eight if you add Yogi, what's it like trying to find a rhythm with folks? I know that with Harp and with Devin and with Skin and with Warren, it's natural because of the time that you've spent, but somebody new, how do you kind of orchestrate things to where you know where they're coming from and the dance comes off seamless?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think, there's obviously a lot of nonverbal communication that's happening in the booth, to make sure that you're not stepping on each other. But I don't think it's the end of the world when a play-by-play guy and an analyst do a game and there's overlap or they kind of talk over each other for a second. I mean, that happens in normal conversation in life. And so you don't want to stand like one guy I'm standing over here at my lectern doing my part of the game and you're standing at your lectern during your part of the game. You know, so look, all I ever do is tell the analyst that, you know, you see the game through a set of eyes that me and 99.9% of the audience will never see the game. And so tell us what you're seeing and I'll have fun and do my thing, but I'm going to make sure to get out of the way so you have a chance to tell us all the really good insights from the things that you're seeing over the course of the game and just try to make it fun, man. You know, I've always said, John, and this is just, you know, look, there's no right or wrong answers in this business, but if the announcer doesn't sound like he gives a you know what about the game, then how is the person sitting on the couch at home going to give a you know what about it? So just always try to approach it that way. And when you do that, I think it makes it pretty easy to work with different people and it's not hard to find a rhythm. If everybody's having fun, man, it's always going to be easy to work together in my humble estimation.
What I tell color guys is like, look, it's like my job is to talk about the play. When the play is over, I shut up and you take over. Because you know more about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's have some fun with it. You know, that's the most important thing is let's have a good time with this, man. It's sports and there's a lot of, you know, without wandering way down this road, there's a lot of other things in the world that are really, really difficult on people right now. And so, you know, we want people to watch their sports and to have fun and have a good time, man. And I feel good about how, you know, obviously, no broadcaster like politician has a 100% approval rating, but you know, I try to have fun with it and hope that gives people what they want.
Yeah. Last question for you, because I know you're slowing down, which means traffic, which means airport. 4-0 North Texas.
Oh, just trying to find a place to park.
Yeah, DFW. I know what that's about. 4-0 North Texas hosting South Alabama, noon kick Eastern time tomorrow. So it's brunch in Denton with the Jags and the Mean Green. What are you expecting for an offense that's put up a lot of points this year?
Well, I'll be watching, and I'm expecting that Drew Mestermaker and with Eric Morris leading the way on offense as the head coach offensive coordinator. You know, they're in a really good place right now. Their home games have been fantastic. Their road games, they've showed a lot of grit because they've won two overtime road games. They blew a big lead against Army last week, but didn't fold, thank goodness. And so I think the Mean Green are headed to 5-0, John. I know that's no big surprise if that's how I feel about it, but I think those guys are, there's some good stuff going on in Denton this year. They've got a good balance on offense. Their defense, they have a new defensive coordinator. They're better on defense this year, and this is really shaping up to be a very, very special season in Denton. We've had some of those in basketball. We haven't had a lot of those in football recently, so I'm 100% invested and excited about what's going to go on in Denton in football for the rest of the year because, frankly, we deserve it.
Mark Followill, he's calling the game with Atlanta United and the Revs up in Foxborough. With Ian Joy, where he gets to pick it out at least once, hopefully this weekend. It's great to have you in. And so now officially, while you're fishing for a parking space, you now know where the garage door opener is. You now know where the key is under the mat. Usually in this hour on Fridays, past about 10:30 Eastern time, it's the half hour of chaos when we're previewing everything. Look, Terrence has come in 3 times in a week just because he wants to. So if you want to come in and just vent your spleen for 3 minutes, come in, say hi, do whatever. You know how to come in the door. Just be safe. Have a great call. We'll be watching, and we'll catch up with you soon, my friend. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, this has been so much fun, John. I really mean that. I love what you're doing. I love the enthusiasm of your show. You're doing it the right way. Like we said, if you don't sound like you care about it, then how is the listener going to sound like they care about it? And I've thoroughly enjoyed my time, and I hope there will be another interfacing sooner rather than later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Very, very cool to catch up with Mark, someone whom I have respected for a great long time, and it was great to catch up with him and catch up with him before he got on a plane, actually, before he got a place to park, before he hopped on a plane, and before he headed to the Northeast to get ready to call the matchup with Ian Joy on Apple TV. Next up, as promised, we go to the roots and we find out what's going on with our friends at Mjolbe AIF, presented by our friends at NoFo Brewing. The series travels the world and lets you know what's going on with all the cool stories off the beaten path. So here's a bit of a roots preview on the SDH Network, our conversation with Anders Torstensson, the head coach of the team in the lead of the Allsvenskan, the Swedish top flight. And we find out what it's like to have had this run to this point of the season where they are this close to making history in their country. And now it's time to get our education on everything Mjolbe, and to do it, the head coach, Anders Torstensson. Coach, thanks for dropping by and letting us in on a great season for you over there.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
This is your third time as manager there. For someone who hasn't seen what's going on, doesn't know anything about the league or the town or anything like that, how would you best describe what is going on there in Mjolbe with what is going on with the team and the town and the franchise and everything? How would you describe what's going on?
I think I have to start to describe the area. The whole community, municipal, is about 20,000 inhabitants, but it's worse than that because the club is based in a village with 800 inhabitants, and the name is Mjolbe AIF. It came from another village with about 5 minutes away with about 1,500 people living in it. So it's a very, very small. I think we were the smallest team in Europe to have a team in the top league. And this year, we're not only in the top league, we're leading it with 8 points with 6 rounds left to play.
If you and I had talked before the season started, and I had told you that you would be 8 points clear with six matches to go with everything that you just discussed about letting everybody in on what Mjolba is, what would you have told me then?
I've got that question a few times, and I'm more glad than surprised, because we have a lot of players and a lot of staff members working together and really got things going. So last year we finished on fifth place, and we really set our goals high this season. So we've been working very hard towards that goals. But that, yeah, so I'm not surprised, but as everyone understands, a lot of boxes have to tick in to make that happen. So I'm a little bit surprised, but very glad.
I mean, you've only lost once in the first 24 rounds. That in and of itself is that's pretty strong, that you've only lost one time. You've drawn six of the 24, but you've only lost once. What is it about the mentality of the club that drives them forward and continues to chase after results to where you've only lost once in 24?
Mjolby has always been a club known for kind of a tough players, hard to meet, always fighting until the game is over, and we actually still are. But I think we did a great job, because we sat down with the whole team in the start of 2024 and really discussed and wrote down our core values. I think they are a part of it. So we got it on paper, and we agreed we never give up. We fight for each other. We take responsibility. The result doesn't matter. We always fight and have each other's back, and so on. So the mentality has always been there, but I think those discussions made it much clearer.
When you're in a league, and I know that a lot of folks may gravitate toward Hammarby or AIK or Göteborg or Malmo, and for you and this season, how many folks have reached out to ask about this year, and what has it been like to get all of this attention, even though you know that the job isn't finished?
Everyone has reached out. So it's a matter of just keeping the balance. I think it's part of my job to be, what do you say, available for media, and it's a good PR for the club. But me and my staff and the club actually has to turn offers down. But I think every one of the biggest media in Sweden has visited us and doing a lot of stuff around the club, and a lot of foreign media as well. But I think both me, the club, and the players are handling it very well.
And you know, when you are doing something like this, I know that there are comparisons that have come up. I know that the folks in English football might have sat there and said Leicester. I know that some folks might have said Bodo Glimt as a comparison. But with this being your third time as head coach, what has it been like for you to see, I guess, the growth of the club, to where the first time you were there as manager, you might have seen something happen to where, okay, I know there's growth here. Second time, okay, there's more growth. I've seen it grow. Now there's more. And this third time, how different is it than your other two to see where things have gone to where they are right now? Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, I think I know exactly what you mean. And it's been a long journey for me at BOIF. I even started as a youth player, so it's my home club in every way. So I was in the club as a youth player, and then I started as an assistant manager between 2007 and 2012, and got the head coach title to 2013, and those years we went up to Allsvenskan, the highest division, in 2010. But the club, to be honest, wasn't ready for it. We have almost every player were semi professionals, working or attending school besides the football, and we had to train late afternoons, and we weren't equipped in any way to really fight. So the club were always saying we have to grow into the Allsvenskan costume, but we didn't have the muscles to do it. And after that, I went back 2021, and I've been observing that from 2016, where the club almost were relegated from the third tier, one game away, it started happening things. And then the whole club actually starting to build a structure with very small and wise steps in every part of the club, and we are still on that journey, and to be a part of it is amazing.
So how do you think that Mjällby is wearing the Allsvenskan outfit now? Does it fit better? Is it still a little tight? Is it still a little loose? How does the outfit feel for Mjällby in Allsvenskan now?
Nowadays it's good. I think we can compare our whole organization with the medium Allsvenskan teams, not with the big ones as you mentioned, but the next challenge is that we're looking to play out in Europe, and that's another outfit to fit into.
When you are trying to bring players in to be a part of what you are trying to grow, how much convincing do you have to do? Because players may look at the size of the principality, they may look at the size of the stadium, and they may sit there and go, okay, well, that's you know, too small for me, I think I can do better. When you're bringing players in, what are those conversations like about attracting them to be a part of Mjällby?
Let me put it this way. Two years ago, we had to be very convincing, because we couldn't pay the highest salaries, as you mentioned. It's not a very attractive area outside of this football. But we really nowadays are a benchmark for developing young players, known for our quality in developing young players. We have also a better economy, which means that we can offer at least a medium wage for Allsvenskan, and we definitely have a very good atmosphere and in the team, and the guys, they are amazing, welcoming new players, getting them into the group, taking care of them on the pitch, outside the pitch. So that's a great value for many players as well.
Now, if I remember correctly, each club has to be at least 51% fan owned. That's still the case?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So what is it like to have that dynamic as a part of this whole thing where you have the fans that are rabid, live, love, die day in, day out? What's it like having that as a part of this dynamic as well, where the fans own at least 51% of what's going on?
I think it's beautiful, especially for Mjällby, because if they take away that rule, a lot of the charm with Allsvenskan would go away, and Allsvenskan as a trademark is a very good trademark. And nowadays, they're increasing their public, both on TV and in the arenas, and it's a very good atmosphere in almost every arena. There are exceptions, and there are teams within that exception, but it's a very good, healthy atmosphere in Swedish football right now. And maybe that would be ruined if they take away the 51% rule.
Anders Torstensson, manager of Mjällby AIF, right now at the top of the table in the Allsvenskan with half a dozen matches to go, on the verge of something that could be very, very special. It is special to this point, without question. Still, other stages could make this just an absolutely fantastic season for you. You know, when you look at the half a dozen matches to go and you're 8 points ahead of everyone else, if you were to complete this journey, what would it mean to the club, the region, and to you and the team if you complete this journey with what you would like to accomplish in it?
Well, I don't really like to speculate about that, but I will give you an answer anyway. It would be amazing. Historical, not only for the club and the region, it would be historical Swedish modern football as well. But I don't like to to think about it. I care about my mental health.
Yes, you got a game. You got a game in 6 days that you got.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a game with Brno Poikarna, I believe.
Yeah.
In 6 days as we're talking, so you got to focus on that.
Exactly. And the team too.
Yes. And I mean, it is. How do you keep your wits about you with all of this attention? Seriously, how do you sit there and divide yourself into like three or four different people to handle all this stuff?
No, I think we have had the same plan, the same structure, the whole season. And I'm very convinced not to change that, because I think the daily routine, the daily work, the daily scouting, the daily focus of against the going up to the next game is very healthy for the players. We have never addressed our position in the table, not in the beginning of the season, not now. We're only addressing the next game, and I think that's a very healthy focus to have, and I also think that are helping the players to just let the speculations fly by and focus on next game.
Let the speculation hang out with folks like me. We'll do all the speculating.
Yeah, that's your job. I understand it totally.
So, I mean, no scoreboard watching, no looking at the newspapers and the standings or social media or anything like that. You've just completely and totally, you and the team have just completely said, nope, that's over there, we're not looking?
Yeah, but I'm very sure that everyone is looking, but we don't address it in the team. We don't address it at our arena when we're together at all. But no one can miss it. But it's about we can't do anything about the speculations. We can only, as I said, have a focus, be 100% focused on our next game and perform as well as we can do. And after that, we have five games left.
So when you have questions, when you are going through your day and you've got a question about what's going on, dealing with external factors, dealing with folks on the outside, dealing with the day-to-day, with everything and all this attention, do you have folks that you lean on to answer those kinds of questions? Like, hey, you know, I need some help dealing with this, this, or this. Do you have folks that you can lean on in this situation?
No, actually not. And I've not came to the point where I think I need it. I'm not that busy that I can't squeeze a chat like this in. And as I mentioned in the beginning, I think it's good PR for the club, and I don't mind. So, but we're a very small organization, so we're taking care of business anyway.
So when you're not working in football, did I see this right, that you're a school principal?
I was. I'm working full time now the last 3 years, but I have had years where I combined being a soccer coach with principal or headmaster full time.
How does being a full-time headmaster, how does that help you, or how did that help you, or how does that help you in being a full-time now football manager? How does one help with the other?
I think you can take experience from that part into the other. In some ways, it's very similar, because in a the last 10 years I worked in a very, very small school. I think you call it like upper secondary high school. It's teenagers from 15 to 19 attending. And I'm coaching the teachers, and the teachers are delivering to the students. And of course, there can be problems, mental health and all that. And if we compare that to football, many things are the same. I'm coaching a staff, and the staff coaching the players. Of course, I do too. And the same problems can surface in a football squad as well. So I think I have a little bit broader experience thanks to my years as a headmaster.
And in looking at the roster, there is a blend of Scandinavian and talent from the African continent. What is it like to have that blending of cultures and personalities when it comes to this squad?
Well, it's refreshing, I think. So, but they are great personalities, and it's nice to see different cultures get together. But I don't think about that that much, because they are first and foremost soccer players and delivering good on the field. And everyone, of course, no matter where they come from, has their own personality and their charming guys, all of them.
And we cannot wait to see the last half a dozen matches of the season and find out what the end of this story is going to be. Coach, I cannot thank you enough for opening this door for us to let us see what's going on there with Mjällby at the top of the table in the Allsvenskan. Fantastic run so far. We wish you nothing but the absolute best, and we want you to run the table, and we will be keeping an eye on you. And if it's okay, if we'd like to check back in every once in a while and see how you're doing.
Yeah, please do. And thanks a lot. And thank you for having me.
Cannot thank our friends at Mjällby AIF enough to catch up with Coach Torstensson. We imagine if we got the time change right, it was probably just before dinner. And so they were done with practice. Coach Torstensson was at home, and he was getting ready to hopefully have a quiet evening before business picked up once again. So if you are so inclined to follow what's going on in Sweden's highest football league, the Allsvenskan, and what's going on with the great story of Malby IF, you can go to their website, MAIF, M for Malby, AIF.se, MAIF.se. Handful of matches to go. You can follow along with your notifications across all the leagues and find out what's going on. If they were to finish this storyline out and finish at the top of the Allsvenskan, they go into the qualifying stage for Champions League next go-round. So we are doing nothing but wishing the best from Mjölby AIF as they chase after this title, one of the fantastic stories here in 2025. That's another go-round of the best of SDHAM. From the Soccer Down Here Network, thanks for hanging out with us here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section at 929thegame.com and the Odyssey app. Once again, I'm John Nelson. For everybody here at the SDH Network and SDHAM, thanks for dropping by and being a part of our conversations and our information all year long. For everybody here, to all of you, thanks for hanging out with us one more time. Play safe, everybody. Mucha plat, y'all. We'll catch up with you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.